It is August 2nd. That's all I have to say. That's how I'm starting
this
call off today.
How
I don't understand. I don't know. Are we getting old? Is time standing still? Is it because we're so in the flow that we're like in the Matrix when, like, Neo busts out of the Matrix and he's able to, like, fly and hang in midair because he's just so empowered? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, and we're living in the now. I think when you live in the now, time flies.
Holy, it's August 2nd. Did we say that? Did we already say that?
Oh. Yeah.
So, darling, I have to catch you up to speed because, you know, whenever you, you know, you sort of puke your personal business out and you tell people, like, when you're going through a problem, I feel it's very important afterwards to come in and let people know that you're okay.
You mean when you go to your girlfriend's, and then you're like, oh, and everything's wonderful. And they're like, but I'm still dealing with your,
yeah, like, you puked all over me, and now you're all happy and healthy, and I don't know, I didn't know what. So I do think it's really important that when you share or you bring people into your stuff, because you need help, you need support, and we all need that, and it's so important. So I really shouldn't use the word puke on people because I think, you know, we need each other. We need to be able to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also really important once you've had resolution or you've worked things out to go back to your girlfriends or go back to, like, our chat with Crystal and say, hey, if you hear wind, it's because I've got 17,000 fans blowing on me right now. Coming from every direction.
I have a fan rattle in the background myself. No worries.
So I think it's important to share. So last week, just to give everybody the update, I had the meltdown with Julia. She's in the room beside me, so I have to whisper.
My daughter.
My 20-year-old daughter is in the room beside us. I have to whisper. So remember last week I told you about how we had this falling out?
Mm-hmm.
And I was furious. And I told her, I don't know what I'm going to do right now, but there will be consequences. And then she didn't come home for 4 days. Well, funny enough, it was last Tuesday after the call, literally after the call, I finish the call and Aaron opens up the door and he walks in the room and I say kind of loud, did you hear me talking about Julia? And then he's like, shh. She just walked in the door.
Oh,
so,
my word. That's hilarious.
I was like, that's hilarious. So she really didn't take it seriously. So I went in and I sat down on her bed and I said, Julia. And then she kind of like thought she could do that little cute smile where she looked up at me with her big eyes and grinned. And she thought I would just go, Julia. But I didn't. I said, you know, I really sort of said, so I stuck to my thing and I was so calm and I was very clear. And it was so perfect that we talked so much about it in the call because I was so ready to go.
Processed already, exactly.
I did all the processing with you and with mm-hmm. Carmen. And, you know, I really processed it. And I did have a sort of, I was back and sort of laughing about it. You know, by the end of the call, we were all laughing and Carmen was laughing. We were all laughing, sort of
stride.
Like, take it in stride because, you know, goodness. Anyway, so I was very clear, and I said to her, I was very clear about it, and she wanted to pull me back in, so she started yelling again, and she started crying, and I said, no, there has to be consequences, and, you know, if this is how you're going to talk, and this is how you're going to treat me, you know, maybe you're 20 years old, nearly 20 years old. I'm not 20 years old! I am not 20! I'm not 20 for a year! I said, August, September, October in 3 months. And then she's like, oh, cool. I'm having a birthday in 3 months. Anyways, I'm getting
you're not
hitting
a party.
No, so I said, you know, maybe you need to think about moving in with your dad. I've never used that threat before and I've never wanted to.
That's huge,
And she burst into tears and ran in the bathroom. And I just thought, no, this is all the drama that I get pulled into. So I was very clear. She stormed out of the house and then she was gone for another 2 days.
Wow.
And so she came back in on the final day and she sat down at the table and and I really, like, I couldn't believe how much, like, this is what I want to say to Carmen or any mom out there. Our kids are all at different levels, emotionally, in maturity, mentally, maturity, emotionally, and maturity. You know, some of them are little divas, some like Julia can be.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I created that. So it's all, but so I really talked to her and said, do you know how to be kind? Like, do you know? Like, okay, I literally did the without saying it. Like, how would you respond to this? This is how, like, you know, I actually had to go right back to the basics about how you would communicate and what would you do in this scenario. And it was a wonderful conversation, but at the end of it, we definitely created a consequence. And the consequence, which someone else might say that was your consequence, but the consequence is, if she's rude and starts yelling at me, I have thousands of dollars of video equipment. You know how she does all those fabulous videos?
Oh, so she uses your equipment for...
It's all my equipment. So I'm talking probably $5,000 in equipment. We've got green screen.
Yeah.
We've got all... And I also bought her, when she graduated, one of the best video software programs, video editing. So, you know. Anyway, so I said to her, if when you do that, I'm not even going to give you a warning. You're going to lose all that equipment for 7 days. I said for a week, and she goes, 5 days, a work week. Like, she's already negotiating. 5 days, just a work week. I'm like, the fact that you said that, you're smart kid, you know. So I said, no, 7 days.
But it scares you because it's like, what do you mean you're doing it again?
No, she was trying to, like, give me different things. Like, you can take away this. And I said, no, I think the video equipment. And when I saw her face, I knew that was the one. That would be the worst thing. Because she's trying to build her own little business, and her face went so that I knew. Video.
Got it.
So she was like, 5 days, and I was like, 7 days, and then she's like, but I have to get a video every week. That's the only way to build my business. And I said, well, I guess it's going to become important to you in terms of how you're going to show up in this family. I said, I understand. People argue. We're not talking about once in a while you have a disagreement, you need to really express it, it becomes passionate. We're talking about the day-to-day communication, how we show up, how we say hi when we walk in the door, how we communicate. So anyways, it's been unbelievably great, and I have to brag. And then on top of it, it's been wonderful. Everything's been just wonderful, and I thought, you know what, isn't that amazing that you know, so I don't know how long it's going to last, but at least it's going to last, because here's what I did. About an hour later, she just began talking to me in a way that was rude, and I said, okay, you've lost your video equipment for a week. And she went, and then she was just nice. It's been a week.
Did you take it away?
Took it. I went right down. She wasn't even really freaking. She was just, it was just starting. And I just went, I can't believe this. We're only an hour later, and you're already talking to me this way. It's gone for a week. And it worked. She instantly was like, ooh.
I
went and got that video camera. I put it up in Aaron's office. I put everything. She was, like, quiet, and I thought, wow, consequences. People need consequences. You can't go wacko and say, I'm kicking you out.
You've
got to follow through. So she's been really great. It's been really wonderful. And then I was really proud of her because the president of her school that she just graduated, she graduated second in her class. We always just say the top three because they award the top three, but she actually graduated second in her class.
Wow.
And she's just been gifted a scholarship to another program that is about $15,000. So it's just always wonderful.
That's amazing.
Just wonderful. Like, you know, it was just wonderful. And the crazy thing is anyways, it doesn't matter. I'm babbling. But it just worked out. So my point is to all you moms that have those moments, it's hard to stay in woman energy when your kid's sobbing or screaming or, you know, it's hard. I get it. It's like, but if I hadn't had that Tuesday chat last week, with you, with Carmen, with everyone that was listening and weighing in, I would not have had that calmness and those communication skills and that consequences that are really reasonable but fair and then stuck to them. So I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for giving me that space that I poured my little heart out and felt like, it all worked itself out.
Well, you know what, though, Crystal, that's the beauty of what you offer, is that you show up authentically, you show up with everything. And how many people can relate to what you're going through, and especially, you know, you, like you say, puking, whatever, or you're venting, but then when you have the turnaround, you share the turnaround as well. So there's learning for everybody. It's not just about you and Julia. It really impacts anyone that's listening to these calls.
Yeah, so I want to, you know, today to encourage, if you're listening today, if you're on the line, if you're on your actual telephone, this may be the day for you to get some coaching, because I would love to just launch right into the phone lines today. I would love to support you if you're going through a struggle with a loved one, with a partner, with your health, with a coworker. If you're going through a struggle in your life that you just, sometimes we just need to talk about it and we need to be validated, and then there's something about being witnessed and being supported and to know you're not alone. And sometimes when you're in the forest, you can't see the pathway out. You're just so in among the trees. You don't even realize there's pathways all around you. And so what Yvette and I offer is really an opportunity for us to sort of look in on what's happening from way above in a helicopter and say, okay, listen, we can see all these pathways. You're right at them. We're going to help you navigate your way out of this mess or out of this forest or out of this confusion so that you can see things from a higher perspective. Because ultimately, that is what we do. What we do at the SWOT Institute is ultimately always about never giving you the answer, but helping you learn how to ask yourself the right questions so that you can always find higher ground. And in that higher place within yourself, it's really like you're stepping up into the higher sort of perspective of life, about yourself, about life, you're able to take that 30,000-foot view, or even if it's just a 1,000-foot view, to look in on things and be able to find a more empowered way of dealing with it so that you feel good, the way you talk to yourself about yourself, so that you can be fair, be reasonable, be, you know, all of those things, and really be honoring yourself and be true to yourself. So today we would love to support you. All you have to do on your phone is press star 2. And this might be the day for you. Just star 2 on your keypad on your phone. If you're on Skype, if you're on calling in through the webinar, you still just do star 2 and we'll see you. For those of you that are listening just through the webinar and you have a question, you can jot your question right in on that page, on the SWOT Institute's page. I think it's SWOT Institute chat with Crystal, thank you, or something like that. It will get you there. And you can pop your question in there, and Yvette and I would love to be able to support you. So, Yvette, why don't you take a peek over at the Q&A and see if we have anybody.
Yeah, no one has yet.
Okay, so I'm seeing a few hands going up, so we would love to be able to support you. And I'm going to go to the phone lines right now. So I see Karen. How are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I just saw your thing, and I know we talked a little earlier, so I love seeing that you called in today. How can we support you? What's been going on?
It's one of those things where you're kind of going crazy in your mind, and you just need to, like you said, talk to somebody about it.
Yeah.
I was in a relationship, or kind of still am, for the past year and a half, and you know, there's many good things in this relationship, but there's a few not so good things. And I'm the type of person where I focus on the good things, and I try not to look at the bad, but the bad things seem to be popping up more often.
Okay.
And there's significant things that have kind of, you know, put a wrench in my side. And I guess I just come to this point where, you know, like, is this something that I want for longevity? Is this a person I see myself with? And, you know, I'm sitting on the fence. I've been back and forth with, one minute I'm breaking up with him, the next minute I'm back, and I'm kind of in that mode right now. And I'm pretty sure I know my decision, but I'm just finding it hard because I don't want to hurt him. You know, I find that he's the type of person that could really use somebody positive in his life right now, and I just find it hard to walk away from someone that, you know, is going through.
Do you love him? Do you love him?
I do, yeah.
So stay with that for a minute. Let me just to go from here. So you've been with him for a year and a half. You had lots of things about him you love. There's lots of things about your relationship that are great, but there's some things about your relationship that are not so great, some things that are they're really hard for you to handle. Is that right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Karen, do you feel – okay, let me ask you those things. So you do love him, but I can tell that the love right now is sort of like you're – explain that to me. When you say, I do love him, tell me, walk that through a little bit more for me.
I mean, he's caring. He would do anything, you know, for me. You know, he's got a couple of young kids who I absolutely adore. He's a good father. You know, he worked hard at, you know, at his career. You know, all those things on paper that you look for in a man, you know, is all good. There are a few elements that are missing, like just his connection with his family. There's a disconnect there. Even in his life, he doesn't have, you know, a lot of friends. Not that I judge people by that, but I find that's important to have that, you know,
So he's disconnected from his family, disconnected from friends. What else? What else bothers you?
He doesn't like my girlfriend, so that's a huge thing for me. So anytime there's any type of gathering or anything, I can't invite him.
Okay.
So there's that.
Yeah, keep going.
And there was an incident that occurred last week that was really kind of, you know, my last kind of straw, where I was like, okay, like this is it. I don't think I can go forward with this relationship. And it was a decision that he made that, you know, was very disrespectful. And I just, you
were
know,
you in an argument when he made it?
Pardon me?
Were you in an argument when he made a disrespectful comment?
No, it wasn't even a comment. It was a decision that he had made. And
do you want to share it?
Sure. It was it was just a couple of weeks ago. He was away working in Vancouver, and his kids were staying with a friend of his who I've yet to meet, who I've never, you know, I've just considered, she's a female friend, and I always considered her a friend, but I've yet to meet her. So there's never been any terms of jealousy or anything like that with her. So she had the kids while he was in Vancouver, and she took them to her cottage. And then as soon as he got home, now keeping in mind, I don't see him very often. It's, you know, he's either working or with the kids, and then our alone time is maybe once or twice a month at the very most.
Okay.
So his decision was to come home and spend two nights, Wednesday, Thursday, at the cottage with this woman. And I didn't hear from him the whole time. So to me, it was just very disrespectful. I mean, some people may
and
think
how
I'm
does
90.
He? Okay, so how? Can let me ask you this, because that's what I think this is about right now. So, I mean, there's a okay. Here's my gut. This is my gut telling me. My gut's telling me that you're not feeling important enough, and okay. I could be wrong on this. So this is just my gut. My gut's telling me that you've been with him for what did you say? A year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see all these qualities in him that you deeply respect. You love how he's caring. You love how he adores you. You love that he adores his kids. You love that he is a really good father. You love that he's a good person. You love that he's got strong work ethic. You love that, you know, there's all these things you love. But you're only really spending really intimate time with him one-on-one once or twice a month. That can't be enough.
Yeah, no, it's not. And the relationship really hasn't developed, say, in the past 6 months. It's just kind of been sitting still. And I guess what's hurtful for me the last couple of weeks when this whole cottage thing occurred is that, you know, he had time to spend with this other woman at her cottage, but he didn't have time. You know, he was home for a week, and I never even saw him that week either. He flew back out that following weekend, so I never
and,
I never
and
saw
what's
him
your distance in terms of where you guys live from each other?
About 3 minutes. We're in the same town.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me walk all this through. I'm just really trying to weigh this all out. So you're with a guy who, to me, this is my gut. I can only go on gut, and then we'll talk about it. So my gut is he, again, this might be intuitive, and there's no basis, so I'm just talking off my gut, that I think he was really hurt in his marriage. I think that he has put all of his effort and his energy into his work and his children. How old are his children?
7.
Okay, so
we've
got
both 7.
Little kids. How long has he been divorced?
About 6 years now.
Okay, 6 years. And that was that a bad breakup?
She had met another man, and she's now married that man.
Okay, so he was devastated. I'm going to actually say that he was devastated because his wife, the mother of his children, cheated on him. So he's going to have a hard time trusting women. Now, that doesn't mean that any of that has anything to do with you. I'm just going on my gut. So he's poured himself into his children and his work. And this female friend, did he ever date her? Was she someone in the past that he dated? Are they truly just friends?
No, they never dated before. And I don't even get a gut feeling or any
I don't
any
either.
Feeling
I don't either.
About
I don't either.
Friend.
I think this is a really trustworthy man. I think it sucks that his family sucks, and I think that sometimes when your family sucks, you actually have a difficult time having close friendships as well. And the reason for that is because your ability to trust is so it's challenged. Your ability to really trust and develop really deep bonding relationships, even with friendships, after your family sucks, your wife has cheated on you, you just pour yourself. I know this from my own experience. You pour yourself into your children and your work. Those are the two things you know you've got to get right. You've got to get your work right. You've got to get your relationship with your kids right. So you came along, and you're beautiful. And what was the relationship like in the beginning? Did you spend more time in the beginning than you're spending now?
We did, yeah. And he pursued me for about a year and a half in a very, very tasteful, conservative way as well, too. And I was the one that was kind of like, okay, I'll give this guy a try kind of thing, right?
Okay, so what I'm hearing is he's a tasteful, sort of patient. What was the other word conservative. Okay, conservative way. Have you guys ever talked about, let me ask you this, have you talked about where the relationship is going? Next steps, what are we planning for?
A little bit. I mean, he just doesn't ever want to lose me. He wants to spend the rest of my life with me. You know, he sees us, you know, having a life together and living together and that sort of thing. I'm honestly sitting on the fence because
I'm going to tell you my gut feeling. I honestly think you could spend your life with this man, and I think he would be the most tasteful, patient, conservative, trustworthy, kind, adoring, loving kind of man that you've been wanting and waiting for. But I think that there's something in the dynamic between the two of you that he is a little bit afraid. He's a little something. And I'm not saying that you've done something, but what has happened? Tell me what's happened in the last 6 months. Tell me about the arguments you've had. Tell me about the way the conversations are going.
To be honest with you, the conversations aren't, it's hard because we don't get a lot of alone time together.
How do you feel about his children?
I adore his kids. His kids are sweet. We all get along. Like, his kids adore me. In terms of arguments, it's usually the arguments are around us not spending enough time together. Him coming home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love spending time with the kids and everything, but we don't even, you know, the whole fact, like, I say to him, I'm like, I even suggest, like, once a month, get a sitter at 7:30 at night when the kids are going to be put down to bed and we can go out for a nice dinner for a couple of hours. But he won't even do that. So,
why? How often does he have them?
He's 50-50 with his ex.
And he never gets a babysitter?
Never. Yeah.
These are important conversations because these are important conversations. And sometimes, Karen, sometimes, see, I've done it. So I got to be very careful in the way I say it. I know you. So I know you, and no one knows right now, not that this should matter, but I know what you look like. I know your personality. I know you're really special. And I think sometimes when we really know we're special, there's an element that we bring into that relationship. And that can be very intimidating, and it can be very incredible, and it can all of those things. But so what I'm hearing is you know you're really special. He knows you're really special, but maybe you've been too tolerant. I don't know. But my gut is that this is a guy you absolutely could grow old with. However, do you feel truly important enough, and are you being respected sort of in the sense that he's weighing, like, for example, when he went away for a week and he had a female friend watch his kids, did it occur to you that you could take them for a week? Did you let me take them for the week, not a female friend, or have you ever taken his, not that you should, I'm just wondering.
I was working, so I couldn't, right? That was the biggest thing. So I was okay with her taking the kids, but she took them to her cottage, then he joined her and the kids at the cottage.
Do you think that was also a sense of gratitude? It was the right thing to do. She's watched my kids for a week. I'm going to go up. I'm going to be friendly. Do you think he's juggling too many balls and he's trying to make too many people happy?
He does say that. He says he's overwhelmed and he's being pulled in so many different directions. But from my point of view, I'm like, I would go crazy too.
From my point of view, if I were you, I'd be like, I need to be more important in your life.
I would have driven to the cottage.
You would have what?
I would have driven to the cottage. Hey, I'm here. How's it going?
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm hearing are you expressing to him enough interest? Like, have you ever said, let me take the kids? You don't need to. Like, have you shown that sort of, I want to really be in all of your lives?
Yeah, I have. I've taken the kids actually a few times. Like, when I can. It's tricky with my work, but I've picked them up from school. I've brought them home. I've taken them to school. I do things with them on my own. So that's always, you know, and usually he does ask me first, but he knew there was no way I could on these for three days. Let me ask you this.
When you only live 3 minutes from each other, why are you not just popping in and seeing each other, even if for an hour here, or spend the night, or at least have, you know, sleep together? The kids are in bed at 7:30. Why are you not going over in the evening and hanging out together, watching a movie, just having a nice dinner?
We do that.
How often? Like, are you literally only doing that once or twice a month, or what do you mean?
I'd say, well, it depends, because he works in Vancouver, so that's the other issue. So when he is home, yes, if he's got the kids, I'll be over there if they're hanging out, kind of thing. He's very, I think he gets overwhelmed with the kids sometimes too. So I find even at night, like we'll have dinner and the kids are put down like around 8:39, and then he's exhausted and he's like, well, I'm going to go to bed soon. So I'm kind of like, well, wait a second, you know, we could just watch a movie together. Do you know what I mean? And so a lot of the times I'm leaving as soon as the kids go to bed. So I feel that.
Are you too easygoing, Karen? That's what I'm getting at. Are you too gentle? Are you too, like, because he's so kind of conservative, and I could be wrong. I don't see you being very pushy. I think your personality seems very sort of gentle and loving. Again, I could be wrong on it when it comes to a man, but are you being too easygoing that you're not really being clear to him what you want, what you need, and how you want to move forward?
Maybe I am. Maybe I am. Yeah, I probably am because I don't want to hurt anybody and I want to be nice. And
but are you being so nice to the point that he doesn't really get how you feel? You're not really clear on how you feel. He doesn't really get, like, when he went up to the cottage and didn't see you for that whole week, even though he was back, what did you say to him? What did you do? Did you flip out? Were you really calm? Were you gentle? Were you angry? What were you? How did you handle it?
I was upset. Like, I handled it very, you know, like, I didn't go crazy or anything or flip out. That's not my personality. But I was upset.
How did you show him I'm upset?
I was crying. I was upset. Like, I was, you know.
What did you say to him, though? Like, in that week, he's gone, you're crying, but do you express yourself to him?
Yes, and I said that to him. Like I said, you know, it's very disrespectful. Like, you know, you want to spend more time with me. You say that I'm important in your life, but your actions are completely speaking the opposite. So I did have that conversation.
And what did he say?
He apologized. He's like, I didn't really, you know, think of it that way. And he's like, you know, she's just a friend. You don't need to worry. And it wasn't even that. Like I said,
I'm not worried. I'm hurt that you don't miss me.
Yes. Yeah,
why don't you miss me? Why aren't you missing me? Why don't you need to see me more? Why do I need to see you more than you need to see me? Have you ever said that to him?
Not directly, no, but that's a good way to put it.
Here's the thing, Karen. Here's the thing about when you have a really loving, gentle personality like you have. What the shame would be, it would actually be a trauma to me. It would be a tragedy that when you're dealing with a man who's very, like your words, tasteful, patient, conservative, caring, just a sort of a gentler personality, and you don't really speak your truth and really say it, and then you end up just breaking up with him, it's a travesty because your lack of communication is what's doing your relationship in.
Okay.
It's a travesty to have two great people that are so kind and you adore his children and you really could see yourself having a future with him. If you could be a little more intense about your emotions and clear with, like, consequences and got really clear. Like, I'm really glad I'm not in my first marriage still. Don't get me wrong. But I was thinking about our breakup. It was about a year of me wanting to leave, and I never, ever could. I can't even believe the difference of who I am now. If I'm not happy with my husband now, I would just be like, I'm so not happy with this happened. He would just completely always know where I stand, to the point sometimes I'm overdramatic, I say too much, I yell too loud, but you know where I stand. And this marriage will survive forever. I can guarantee you this marriage will never break up. I shouldn't say it like that, unless something you never know. But in my first marriage, we barely ever really had fights, like real, real wing dingers, until the last month of our marriage. And probably the last year of our marriage, I can't believe how I wanted out. I wanted out, and I couldn't. I just was so unhappy. But I didn't know how to really communicate. So he would say, I don't understand what's wrong. And I'd say, I don't know. I'm just not happy, or I'm just not. And I never really just said, I'm pissed about this, 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 and this. This is what this makes me feel. This, when you do this, this, it makes me feel like this. If you would be willing to do this, this, and this, I think maybe I could handle sticking around. But if not, there'll be consequences. And da-da-da-da-da. If I would have just been direct, like really direct, I'd probably still be married. And I just feel this feeling that I don't want to tell you, but I think that your relationship is lacking a level of passion. Because everybody's so conservative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that ring true at all or no?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
What doesn't? Tell me the part that doesn't ring true.
No, that does ring true. You know, I find lately I've been more passionate and bringing these things up more often. You know, and I think that's part of me where I'm like, oh, my God, I think I'm going crazy because I'm, like, constantly bringing this stuff up. And he's like, you're overthinking things. So I do know I am.
But you're not really expressing it. So what I'm getting at is if a guy just says you're overthinking things, it means you're sort of doing a roundabout talk.
Okay.
You're sort of, you have to keep bringing it up because you're so upset about it inside, but you're not really, unless I'm wrong, because you would say, if you wanted to be really honest and nail me, say no, you wouldn't believe the things I say to him. But it's, you know, you have a very, I'm going on intuition because I don't really know this, but I have this feeling that, are your parents still married?
Yeah, 60 years.
60 years, they're very kind. Your relationship with them is very kind. Your way of dialoguing and communicating is very kind. Everybody's kind. Am I right in that or am I wrong in that?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Everybody's kind. Everybody's always kind. So that works sometimes. And sometimes there has to be that point where I don't feel kind. Like, I can't say it in a kind. I can say it in a kind way, but I have to say it because I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you instead of helping you understand me. I'm actually going to sabotage and walk out of this relationship because I'm afraid to get angry. I am actually afraid to get really angry. I don't want you to cry. I want you to get mad. I want you to actually show him passion. I want you to say, like, what a travesty that I'm going to walk out on you and these two beautiful children and the life that we could have because I'm so frustrated because I don't really speak my truth. You don't even really know what I'm really feeling. I don't really know what you're really feeling. We're so lovely to each other that I leave at bedtime when the kids are going to bed when the real truth is this is when I need to be saying, hello, like, no, like, I just feel there needs to be a level of intensity that needs to be lifted up a little bit so that you're not going crazy in your mind, you're not crying, you're being really assertive and asserting yourself and your needs because I see too many marriages break up because everyone just really didn't know how to speak the truth, and so it's kind of half-truths, and I'm worried about hurting someone's feelings, and he's a really nice guy, and I don't want to hurt his feelings. It's going to hurt his feelings a lot more if you just leave him.
Right, right.
It's not going to hurt his feelings that much if you even yell at him. It's not going to hurt his feelings that much if you say, if we don't make changes, I'm out of here, and I literally mean there is going to be consequences. If we don't start having more time together when the kids are in bed, we should be able to make love if the kids are sleeping or they're gone for a week. That should be a week that we are spending a lot more time together. We live 3 minutes from each other. If you don't see this relationship growing and becoming more intense and more connected and more together, I'm not going to be here. But to just avoid him or to start feeling like I think I should maybe just end things and he doesn't really, really know, that's a tragedy.
Okay. That makes
sense. What do you think? What do you think as I say that?
Yeah, no, it all makes sense. It does resonate for sure.
He can't read your mind. And so if you're just kind of talking in circles a little bit and then he's like, I think you're overthinking things, that means you're not being really clear.
Right, right.
That when someone says, I think you're overthinking things, that means you're coming out in a way that's confused and hurt and you're not nailing exactly what you need. What do you need? Karen, if you could wave a magic wand right now and you were guaranteed success with this man, if you had the courage to tell the truth to me, no one knows who you are, not a soul, if you had the courage to tell the truth to your soul, to your heart, about what you really want, what would that look like?
There's a couple things, actually, because I've thought about that. I definitely would want to feel like I'm, you know, number one. I know kids are going to come ahead of me, but I need to be up there with those kids.
Absolutely. There's two different types of love. It's like saying I need to be a number one to my husband. Of course you need to be number one, and you need your kids to be number one to him too. But there's two different loves. That's two different things. So you can both be equal. So, but I hear what you're saying. So I need to be way more of a priority to you.
Yes.
Okay,
and
so we're going to write these things down because you're going to be having a very a great conversation, or you're going to write them a letter, and you're going to be really clear about what you need. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts. But let's just, for now, dream. Let's dream. And you might not be ready to write them a letter for 6 months or a year. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so tell me what you dream of. So you want to be a priority.
I need to be a priority.
What does that mean? So for a man, you really need to spell that out. Does that mean I need to see you how many times a week? We need to make love how many times a month? We need to make sure we have private time how many times? Like, you need to be that clear.
Okay.
Like, so when you think about that, so that he understands when you go, if he were to say, you are a priority to me, in my heart, you're all I think about. Well, that's fucking great. I'm glad in your heart I'm all you think about. But I actually need your actions to crave me, need me, desire me. I need to feel like you need me, want me, miss me, right? Am I speaking right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever said that to him?
No, not exactly in those words.
Like, could you imagine if you couldn't just with passion say, okay, keep telling me that. I'm going to get to it. Okay, so you need to see him more often. You need him to want to see you more often.
Yes, yeah.
Are you too available to work around his schedule?
Yeah, like, I mean, his schedule's a little crazy, but I mean, I'm very, I'm understanding of that.
I think you're being too understanding and too flexible, quite honestly.
Yeah, I guess, well, his job is different. He can't choose his schedule, so it's like either he's working or he's not.
Yeah.
But I just expect when he's not working, like, he could be working for a week or two in Vancouver and then come home and he's not working for 2 weeks, right? So I expect during that time that...
You're not working for 2 weeks and you're not spending a lot of time together?
Pardon me?
For those 2 weeks that he's not working when he's here, you're not spending a lot of time together in those 2 weeks?
Not usually, no.
That's a problem.
We'll be with the kids a lot of the time, but like I said, it's maybe... Like,
okay, well, wait. So you are spending time with him, but you're spending time with him and the kids.
Yeah. It's,
that's how it is, though. Karen, that's how it is. So for those 2 weeks that he's home, does he have the kids for those 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So he's a full-time dad. Because when he's gone away, the ex-wife has them, and then when he comes home, he has them.
Yeah, it really depends on his schedule. Like, it should be 50-50, but if he's missing a week that he technically would have the kids, then they switch, and then when he gets home, a week that he may not have the kids, now he's got the kids. So
what I'm getting at is he's truly a single father. When he's
home,
he has them 24/7. So you have to realize that with me and my husband, we have kids that are here 24/7. So we're
mm-hmm.
spending time together, but there's kids there because you have kids. The kids
mm-hmm.
don't go away somewhere. And when you're a woman who's never had kids, like Yvette, I'm sure it would be challenging. Yvette, why don't you weigh on this for a minute? Because you and Karen, neither of you have kids. So when you don't have kids, could you imagine dating a man who had kids all the time? And yes, there would be the feeling of, can we get rid of these little creatures once in a while? But what do you think, Yvette?
Yeah, I mean, I can only relate in the sense of Dave's got his father. And we basically do everything.
That's right.
Better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's got an old father that needs constant
yeah.
care, that he lives with.
So there's times where, you know, it's no problem. All of us, like I joke, you know, the three of us are dating because he's always around. So, you know, I joke about it, but there's moments, and I love his father, but there's moments like, why is it such a big deal? Can't we just go out for dinner and not have to make arrangements and having family members having to step up to the plate every now and again? And pulling hands
so it's a perfect,
to do that.
This is a
and,
completely
yeah.
perfect analogy.
I'm relating a lot to what you're
yes.
saying.
So,
yeah.
Karen, Yvette can really weigh in on this. So what I'm trying to say is whether you have an aging parent that's sick that needs 24-hour treatment or you've got children, you've fallen in love with a man who's got major responsibilities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're never going to ever have that time with him that – like, I feel like Aaron and I are finally having a honeymoon, kind of, now that the kids are 19 and 21. We're finally, and we're amazing. I can't believe how our marriage has blossomed now that the kids aren't high demand 24/7. So you really have to ask yourself, are you, like, I think it's fair to say we need to get a babysitter once a week. We have to have a babysitter. That's a fair thing to say to your man. But once a week, we got to get a babysitter, and the two of us have to go out.
And if I can jump in there. So I went for years just going with the flow and not arranging. Now I actually make a point of saying time alone. Like, we go on trips together. We do things together, and he arranges for care and everything. And if he ever hints that, oh, you're being, like, high maintenance or whatever, which I'm not, we all know I'm not, I always refer to what I'm asking is not a lot. It's not a lot to ask for your significant other to spend quiet time with you, whether it just be watching TV or whatever. It's
absolutely
not an unrealistic expectation.
Absolutely. So you are spending time with him, but you're never getting one-on-one. And the truth is, married couples never get one-on-one. I tell people all the time, you'll actually have more free time once you're a single mom. If the father takes them sometimes, because you actually have a day off. They might go for a weekend. You're actually like, oh, my God, for the first time in 12 years, I have a weekend with no children? This is insane. Like,
yeah. So now, but to say that, sometimes, and this is, I can understand Dave. So I'm speaking about your boyfriend now. He's working, comes home, takes care of the kids. Maybe the time that he has off, he doesn't want anyone around. It's got nothing to do with you personally. It's just like, you know what? I just need to just not do anything right now.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing when you're getting involved with a man that's got 7-year-olds. I mean, they're high maintenance. They're exhausting. His life is exhausted. And I think he adores you. What you have to ask yourself, is this enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is this enough for you? Is this enough for you? Do you want to be a stepmother to two children? Could you see yourself moving in and being the four of you as a family? Do you want to take that next step? Would that allow you to have more time? Because then you'd really be the woman in his life that would say, I've organized a babysitter for Friday night. We're going to go out. You know, that kind of thing. Would that work for you? Do you think you could see yourself saying, I want more. I want to become your significant other. I want to be able to, you know, do you hear where I'm going?
I do. Yeah, no, I totally see myself doing that. That's something I've always wanted, is to have a family, you know. And
have you told him that?
I have. Oh, yeah, I've told him. We've talked about, you know, even me having babies, which I'm too old for now, but we've had that discussion as well, too. And
how old
are you?
I said, Karen, how old are you?
42.
Holy moly, you're 42. You look like you're about 25. That's crazy. So this is also an opportunity for you to have a family with a wonderful man and children you adore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
Don't be too quick to throw this away. Karen, I really think you got to work on your communication skills.
Yeah. Now, there was one other thing, Crystal, and I don't want to occupy a ton of time, but there was one incident with my girlfriends, and they've completely shut him out, and they don't want anything to do with him.
Okay, that was a big one, too. Right, your friends. Yep.
Yeah. And it was a situation, again, it was at my cottage, and, you know, we had a few couples up there, and the kids were there. And I'm, again, like, my cottage, the way my family is we're very, you know, laid back, relaxed, you're at a cottage, enjoy yourself kind of thing. I think he was overwhelmed that weekend, so he just flew in, he had the kids, and he had to fly back out on the Sunday, and that was one of the things. He was just a little overwhelmed by that. And I think just having more people there made it worse for him. And I find that he does have – I've almost kind of sensed that he has anxiety issues in social situations, especially with people that he doesn't know very, very well.
Yep.
And I've had this conversation with him before, and I've just seen it. And he reacted not in a good way. Like, he didn't want to sit down and have dinner with us. He, you know, he kind of pulled away. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He really isolated himself the entire weekend. And, of course, people took that the wrong way. And he had a few moments where he was just angry. And, you know, it was a side of him I never saw. It really totally shocked me. I was just like, who is this man? And, you know, he apologized. He's like, I'm really sorry. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know how to handle the situation. I felt like I was out of sorts and I wasn't accepted, and which wasn't the case. And from that
point,
but
he wasn't, because you just told me your friends rallied against him.
Yeah, and now
he knew exactly. But I'm not trying to defend him. I don't know the guy, but he knew exactly what he was feeling. Your friends have already said, we don't like him. We want nothing to do with him because he wasn't good that weekend.
Yeah, and now that's how it is.
That's pretty shitty.
I guess for me, it's, yeah, and I do see his point of view, and for me, I'm sitting kind of in between because
of course,
they're
like,
oh,
I invite you to my cottage. I just wanted you to get along. I wanted everybody to get along. I wanted it to be lovely. I wanted everyone to be inclusive and friendly, and you had to have a little hissy fit.
Yeah, yeah. And now I'm kind of in between because I adore my friends, and it would be nice to have friends and couples and stuff like that get together.
Are your friends literally, they will never forgive him over that?
At this moment, yes, and I've asked him a couple of times, you know, it's really important to me, and this is one thing I did kind of set straight was, you know, it's important to me that you acknowledge it and at least apologize. I'm not asking you to be best friends with them for the rest of your life. You know, it's your choice to like these people or not, but it would make me feel better if you actually, you know, apologized, you know. So that didn't sit well with me, and now of course I'm sitting in between with this because I'm almost keeping it a secret now that I'm still with
that's
them.
No good. That's no good. That's not fair.
No,
that's not fair.
Right.
I've had friends whose husbands have cheated on them, broken their hearts. They come and stayed with me. They bawl for a week straight. I want to go and stab them in the face, and she takes them back, and I have to choose to accept him because she loves him, and she's my friend, and I love her, and I'm not going to not see her because I think her husband's a goof. That's not a good friend either, though. Karen, what it sounds like to me, this is the thing, is that life is messy, people are messy, children are messy, men are messy, women are messy, love isn't messy, but life is messy. And if we think, and maybe your parents had a marriage that you didn't see a lot of messy, and I get that, but in most real life, real people, real relationships, it's all about compromise, communication. We don't write people off. We don't say, I'm done, and I'm not going to ever, like, that's not fair either. So what I feel like is you've got to worry about you.
Right,
you
right.
have to worry about you. I think that's crazy that your friends are acting like that, or he's acting like you. Just seem like you're being a people pleaser, and you're stuck in the middle. Like, I'm afraid to even tell my friends. Well, I've chosen to be with him. I still love him. I want to be with him.
What is it that he has to apologize?
Yeah, like I'm actually like, what do you mean he has to apologize?
What if he felt a bit distant and didn't really partake?
Okay, so he was a little bit distant, and he didn't know all your friends, and he has a little bit of anxiety, so he. I don't understand. Like, Aaron has little hissy fits once in a while, and I don't understand. I can't imagine if my friend said, Aaron wasn't fun enough at the weekend, and so we're never having anything to do with him again. I'd be like, well, that's...
Wow, yeah.
If you love me, you would love... You would accept who I love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't...
Yeah, no, it makes
that's
sense.
Not
and
fair.
I guess I just feel, because you want to discuss your relationship and what you do with people, you know, with your girlfriends, right? And I just feel like if they do bring it up, I just say, you know what, I choose not to discuss this right now with you, you know, because I know it's going to go in a direction where, you know, they're like, oh, we don't approve, blah, blah, blah. And
not your business. That's what you have to, you know what friends are supposed to be? Like what we're doing right now. We're listening.
Mm-hmm.
We're loving you.
Not judging.
We're not judging you. We want the best for you. We want whatever makes you happy. We want you to be healthy and happy and loved. Life is messy. People are all different. Children added to the equation. It takes a lot of compromise, a lot of care, a lot of communication, hanging in there through the tough times, really celebrating the great times. And that's what friendship is. That's what love is. And so even with your guy, what I'm hearing is I'm not comfortable talking about when it gets to be, I'm not comfortable. So I really want you to explore this in you.
Right.
I want you to explore what it is in you that you're feeling like kind of restricted and just being able to say, this is who I am, this is what I want, this is what I need. And I don't care if my friends get it or if you get it or if anyone gets it. I get it. And that's what I need. Everybody has the right to pursue and to get their own needs met because your needs matter, Karen. And if you were to say to your friends, but I love him and he's not perfect and it was a rough weekend, because what I heard you say is, the way you just described him was, I know he was overwhelmed. I know he had anxiety. He had just flown in. He was flying back out the next day. I just know he wasn't in a good place. And it didn't work that weekend. My friends now will not accept him again without an apology. Oh, my God. What, are your friends a bit crazy, too?
Yeah, no, it makes sense, you know. It totally makes sense now that I'm listening to it on the other side, you know.
And you don't, if you're having your own challenges with your own, wrapping your own mind around your relationship, it's not helpful having friends sort of bark up that tree.
And are your friends, here's the thing you have to ask yourself, are your friends like truly, if you were to look at them, are they in loving, compassionate, caring, you know, very communicative relationships? Do they have children? Do they, are they committed for the long run? Do they understand that marriage and relationships take a lot of compromise and a lot of care and a lot of, oh, don't take that personally and just let that go when you really adore and love someone? If you didn't really adore him and adore his children, I'd say this sounds like it's too much work. But to me, this is not sounding like it's too much work. It's sounding like you're just not getting your needs met. And I think that's got to be you that's in the center of this. Because even with friends, if they want to talk about it, I wouldn't say I just don't want to talk about it. I would say, guys, he's the guy I've chosen. And if you love me, you're going to love who I choose. Don't you want me to be happy? And you know what? Marriage isn't always happy. Relationships aren't always happy. It's constantly compromise. Every week there's a new compromise. Every week there's a new conversation. Every week there's a, I look at my children. I can't, I mean, it's like your children. Loving a partner is like loving your children. It is like loving your parents. The way you love your parents, Karen, when you love a man and you love children, you love them with that same level of, you know, we're all different. We're all trying to find our way. We're all trying to make it work. We got to be really clear about what we need. But we don't just end it and walk away because they didn't meet my needs.
Yeah. And I think that's how I feel right now. It's like I think I'm trying to end it because I'm, you know, like, why am I putting up with this kind of attitude? But then I'm like, why am I ending this? Because there's really nothing.
I'm not hearing any reason for you to end this. He sounds like a very healthy man that's juggling a lot of balls.
Yeah, and I think that's.
And I think you should. I don't have a clue who your friends are, but I want you to have a really serious look at your friends. I want you to have a really serious look at how they're showing up in the world. I want you to have a really serious look on how compassionate they are, caring, understanding, supportive, non-judgmental. It's nobody's business but yours. And friends aren't there to actually weigh in and tell you what to do. Friends are there to say, I love you, I hear you, I witness you, I support you, and no matter what you choose, I got you. And if you love him and you choose, of course we will love him. So this may be a friend issue more than a man issue.
I know.
Yeah, I'm wondering where the influences are coming from.
Right, because love influences. When my mother was in my life, I could never have had a healthy relationship. My mother was a man-hater. She always had a man, don't get me wrong. She always had a man. But her advice to me when it came to love was so dysfunctional. It was always like, break up with them to get you. Make ultimatums. It's like, no, oh, my God, that's not the way you show someone you love them. You talk. You keep talking. You get clear on what you need. You talk about what you need to have happen, and you give really clear, like, I need to see you. We need to make love this off. Like, I'm not trying to put it on a schedule, but we need to make love. We need to have time. I need to know this is what I need, and it would be a travesty for you and I to split up over this and this. I want to make sure your needs are met. I want my needs to be met. I would love to move in. I would love to be the mother of your children. I mean, they've got a mother, but I'd love to be a second mother. I love these kids. I'll only bring a positive force into their life. I love you. I want to make this work. Now, if at that he just can't make it all happen, then you have to make a decision if this is serving you. But to end a relationship with, let me go back on my notes. Hold on here. I made a note. A relationship with a man who's caring, loves you, adores you, adores his kids. He's a good father. He's got a good job. But the things that I don't like is he doesn't have a good relationship with his family, doesn't have a lot of friends, and he doesn't like my friends. This is huge, you said.
Yeah. I think that is, that's huge to me. But I look at that, and I think a lot of that, like, I think he's been through, he lost his mom when he was 19. He lost his father a few years ago. He's had.
Well, that's all.
A lot.
Karen.
I know, it's a lot, eh? And I see that side of him where I do understand that about him, where he doesn't like to get attached to something because he doesn't want to lose it.
Right.
You know?
But he's not. Okay, here's what I'm going to, again, intuitively tell you. He doesn't feel you have 2 feet in.
Yeah. Yeah,
he doesn't feel that you really have jumped in 2 feet in and you're either going to drown or you guys are going to swim to paradise.
Right. Yeah, and that's true.
And so a man who doesn't feel his woman's got 2 feet in he's going to tread water for a bit because he's trying to figure out what do I do? And she doesn't know. I don't know. And so all of that is really important. You got to really decide: are you going to jump in 2 feet in and just commit and really commit yourself and say what you need to say and speak your truth and share your feelings and share your anger and share your hurt and share your frustrations and share your passion and share your just your love and your everything and just give all of yourself to this guy. Just give it, every ounce of your soul. And here's the reality. At the end of the day and at the end of a life, if you have one or two amazing friends that are still standing by you, that's pretty good. But if you're too much, and I get when you're a single woman without children that you need a big circle of friends. You need friends because they've been by you. But when you really get into a marriage and children, and you might see your girlfriends once a month. You're lucky.
True.
Because
yeah.
Your life is so much now about your partner, your family, your dreams, growing old, making it work together. Like, you're watching his kids because they become your kids.
When you've asked him to apologize to them, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that was him, if I would receive that well. So it's like saying, so I'm at fault here. I have to apologize to your friends who sound, I don't know.
She's getting stuck on that one.
Friendly.
Here's what, she's getting stuck. She's getting stuck on that one. And the truth is, when you said it to me inside, I always feel my body language, and I got a little gulp in my throat that I was like, I can't imagine telling Aaron, you need to apologize to my friends because you had a hissy fit on the weekend.
Dana, yeah, tell me where to go.
Aaron would be like, I need to apologize to your friends. Your friends are assholes.
That's your friends.
Yeah, like, so, you know, like, what do you think?
I totally, yeah, like, everything makes complete sense here, and I know I just got to obviously communicate and...
Here's what you got to do. You got to decide if you're in it to win it or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you make a decision to be in it, like, I'm in it. I love this man. I love his children. I'm going to do everything on my part to make this work and really communicate with such courage and vulnerability. And when a woman can do that, that man will be mushy, mush, mush, mush in your hands, and he will cater his life around you. When a man doesn't know that a woman is really in it, he will be too afraid, especially a woman like you. He'll be afraid. He's afraid to really jump in because you have such a sense of independence and friends and your own career and you're gorgeous. And, I mean, that would be scary if he doesn't know you're really in it. When a man knows a woman is in it, now don't get me wrong, she still treats him. He's still got to be a hunter. He still has to hunt you. But he has to know your heart is in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yvette, what do you think?
Well, when you were talking, I'm like, oh, my God, she's talking about me. It's like a complete mirror. It's wild. And, yeah, I think focusing on yourself, what is it that you want? What are you looking for? And show up in a relationship with him. And those friends, I mean, unless he was being abusive to them or beating them up or something like that, I don't think there's any need for an apology.
Yeah, like he was distant and he went off and had a little hissy fit and, like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's people. My kids have hissy fits. I can't imagine if I made my kids have to apologize to every family member because at a family get-together or a cottage for the weekend, they had a hissy fit. Like, people are people.
Not between him and the friends. It's not even involving you. You didn't act that way. He did.
Yeah, Karen, what I want to say is get really clear on what you want. If you could wave a magic wand, what would you want?
Okay.
What would you want? And you know what, again, did I write anything down when you started telling me that? I want to be a priority. I want to be a really important part of your life. I want to know that we're planning a future, that we're making some plans on moving in together. We're making some plans on getting engaged. I don't want to be so committed to these children if I'm not going to be around, because that's devastating for them and you. That's devastating for them if you leave.
Mm-hmm.
That would be devastating for them if you just left and you didn't give him a fighting chance. I just think too many women don't know, and men, maybe men too, but men really follow our lead. When the woman's happy, the man's happy. When the woman's in charge, keep things run smooth. But what I mean by charge is just when a man knows, like, she loves me, we're in this, we were building, he'll be there, but you got to get really clear. And if you get really clear and you give him literally these are things I need, these are things that I've maybe never really expressed to you the importance, but this is really, really important to me, and I really, it would be a travesty for me just to break up with you and not tell you what I really need. That's the travesty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and how active are you in making arrangements and stuff? Like, you just sit back and wait till he, you know, says, hey, like, I've got this time available. Or are you saying, hey, what are you doing this day? Are we going to go do this or want to do that? Like, how?
Or at that time when he says, I'm tired, do you say, well, you know, I'd love to climb into bed with you?
Yeah.
Have a nap. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be saying, I'm just, okay, I'll go. I'd be like, perfect.
Yeah.
The kids are in bed. You're tired. That's fine. Let's cuddle up together. You say it.
Yeah.
Put your shoes on and walk out. Just be like, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think you're being too easy, and I think you got to bring out a little bit of that fiery goddess that you are.
And passive would be the other
way
of
you're being a bit too passive. You're waiting a little for him to take the lead, and I think that you've got to be clearer on everything you need.
That makes sense. No, it's perfect.
How do you feel?
Pardon?
How do you feel?
I feel, it's interesting because these are all things that was kind of going through my mind, and I guess you just get to a point where your mind's just going crazy and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do, and, you know, do I break up with them? Do I not? Is it worth it? Is it not? And to me personally, like, putting a year and a half into a relationship is worth it. Like, I'm not...
A year and a half...
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, a year and a half and he's really done nothing? Like, your few things that you've told me, I kind of, like, in fairness, I think, well, that's marriage. That's marriage.
And
you're not talking about anything that's like, it's, we don't spend enough time, we're together, but there's always children around. Like, for about 5 years of my marriage, it was so rocky because Aaron was a man that had never had children. He lived with a girl, but never, they broke up. So he's really like a single guy that was living on his own, had never had children. And now all of a sudden he moves in with me and he's got an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old. And at first he thought it was going to be peaches and cream. And for the first year he just thought, and then all of a sudden he realized, I'm in this. And there's children here 24/7 knocking on the outside bedroom door. Like, Aaron went and put a lock on our bedroom door so that they couldn't just bust in every night. And, you know, like, and even that made me crazy. You cannot lock my children out. And he would say, I am not going to be walking around naked in my bedroom and have a kid walk in. But my point is, it was rocky and it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I love this man more than anything now. And we're going to have this incredible future together because we persevered through the rocky times and we talked and communicated and fought and came back together and then talked more and then kissed and made love and talked about our future and what do we dream of. And we really started dreaming about our life together and what it's going to look like. And if you can do all that with him, it would be a travesty for you to leave him because of the things you've told me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it makes sense.
And here's what I want to tell you. If you do decide to break up with him, we still love you. We got you. Come and we'll help you navigate your way through your breakup.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
That's perfect. Thanks, Crystal. That was amazing. Thank you.
You're so welcome. You've had any last thoughts that you want to share
today? Yeah, there was just a post put on Facebook about, you know, I need new friends. Where do I find them? We'll start right here, literally, on Facebook, the groups, the Chow Crystal, the SWAT Sisterhood. It not only are we helping empower other women, we're helping our own selves in our own experiences and what we're going through. It's a huge support system.
Yeah, this is it, Karen. Like, I've just muted your line now, but this is it. Come to these calls. Show up. Put your stuff, your shares, your concerns on your SWAT Sisterhood, that private Facebook group. Share it in those private places because you're going to get the kind of support that there's no agenda. We're not your friend.
No judgment.
There's no judgment. There's no agenda. There's wisdom. There's wisdom looking in, seeing the bigger picture. And at 42, you've met a man that you really love, who loves you and you love his children. This is your opportunity to have the family that you've always wanted. And he doesn't have parents, which means your parents are all that much more important and that much more important to him. And they will become so important to his children because they don't have a lot of family. This could be magical. And you can't let friends, some girlfriends who have their nose at a joint, veer you off from your dreams in your life. No man is ever perfect. Lots of my friends, my husband has had fights with my friends. Like, that's the truth. Fights. He's had arguments with some of my friends. And but we're all fine because adults can work their way through things. Adults talk about it, compromise. And if love is there, love can heal anything. And now it comes down to us being better communicators, having compassion, having fairness, and being able to really speak our truth and listen. And
getting
and
clear
find
on
solutions.
What that truth is.
Exactly. So thank you, everyone. Thanks for being part of the conversation today, Yvette. Thank you, darling, for always weighing in with your wisdom. And thank you to everyone who listened today. Karen, you're amazing. Thank you. Keep showing up. And come back and tell us next week or the week after how things are going if you would like to. We'd love that. So thanks, everyone. Have an awesome week. Bye.
Yay.
For now.
Bye
for now.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.